This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
So, what are your thoughts? And don't try to tie it into the gospel or try to say anything other than what comes to mind when you watch that. Every day we're being pulled. And what? In different directions. Temptation. It was beautiful. Rebirth. Say it again. Some being set free from the bondage of addiction. What up here? God loves you, and if you accept his love, he'll protect you. He's always there. Redemption through sacrifice and love. Other thoughts? Anything else? No matter what things are falling through.
No matter what sins you've fallen into.
No matter what sins you've fallen into, God is always there to bring you back. Did I get that? Other thoughts? Rock bottom, and then being able to come back to God. Forgiveness. This gospel story was actually, the parable was actually three stories. And in our order, our lectionary, as it's called, two of the stories in the parable was left out. And Jesus tells a story about these two sons, and I say not just the wild son, also known as the prodigal son, but there were two sons that were lost. Two. And the two stories that come just before this, that we didn't read, are stories that are probably very familiar to you also. The story of the good shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one goes off, and he leaves the 99, and he goes, and he looks until he finds that lost sheep. And then the next story comes in the form of a question that Jesus says, and what if you had 10 silver coins and you lost one? Wouldn't you scour your house and sweep every little nook and cranny until you found it? So those come right before this idea of searching and searching, that someone is searching for you until you're found. And then he tells the parable of the two sons. And really, I wish they called it the parable of the loving father, because that's where the focus for me really zooms right in. Because no matter what, that father was there. And he didn't act just like a father. He acted like a mother also. In that culture, for him to break so many societal mores, societal rules, when his son came to him and said, I want all the inheritance before you die, Dad. That, especially in those days, was like coming up to his father and saying, I wish that you would die because I want the money. I want part of the estate. And this was not a small estate. This was huge. He had a lot of wealth. He had cattle. He had servants. He had just a lot of money. And so in order for this son to be able to get his inheritance, he had to sell part of the family farm. He had to sell it off. And his father let him do that. So first of all, that was against everything society told him. Then the son goes off, and he goes and just spends. The real definition of the word that he went out, it's not really dissolute living, it's extravagant living. He was a spendthrift. He just spent away all the money until he was starving. And when it says he came to himself, it's really that he came to his most core need of hunger. It wasn't so much that he turned right then back to God. He was so hungry that he decided, okay, well, I need to go back home and face my father. But I'm not only going to face my father, I'm going to face the whole community. Because in the Jewish culture of the day, if you did what he did and went off on your own, and especially took an inheritance, when you came back, you would have to face the shame of the whole community. And he knew that he would have to face that. And it was this big ritual where they would sit him down and they would bring corn husks and they would break them in front of him. And then he would have to leave. He would have to leave the town. But when he was so hungry and he starts coming down the road to his dad, his father not only ran to him, he picked up these fancy robes and ran to him like a mother would. You would never see a patriarch, a leader, a man of that community, of that stature, run down the road for his son. It was like he was the mother and the father in that moment. So again, God is not male or female. This is the kind of God we have that would run after us, even before we ask for forgiveness. The son hadn't even asked for that yet. Then the son comes up. And because of this amazing love that he sees from his father, then he turns and repents. And the father, in running to him, was protecting him from the village, who really wanted to take him through this whole ritual of shunning him. So the father was protecting him. Protecting him, like somebody said. That God is there to protect us. Even before we ask for forgiveness, we don't have to earn it. That's the beauty of this whole thing. We don't have to earn it. So then he comes back, and of course he tells everybody to have this big party, and enter into the scene the elder son, who was also lost in his own way. How do you think he was lost? What are your thoughts? How do you think he was lost? Selfishness, yep. He thought he was doing all the right things, yeah. His whole life. Why should you pay attention to him? I've been the one that's been so great. I've been the one that's been so good. Why aren't you giving me a party? He couldn't see the beauty of this brother's turning and the beauty of forgiveness without qualification. Without qualification. We don't know what happens to the elder son. We don't know if he ever accepted the love from this father or not. We certainly hope so. In the news recently, and I don't know if I'm going to get these names right, but there's this model, Reva, what is her name? Reva Bennett, not Bennekamp. She was dating this Paralympian, Oliver, and he's now charged with her murder. Do you know what I'm talking about, this news story? And so, I think her name was Reva Stenekamp, something like that. Well, the other day on the news and in several interviews, you might have seen, I think on Anderson Cooper and on the Today Show, they interviewed her uncle, Mike, who sat there and said, in fact, I wrote it down. Let me read you exactly. This was amazing. And the guy that was, you know, when the people again and again were interviewing him, they couldn't believe that he was saying what he was saying. He said, I would like to meet face to face with Reva's killer and forgive him for what he has done. That way, I can find peace with the situation. Whatever the outcome, I feel with my belief, and if Christ could forgive when he died on the cross, why can't I? He's saying this to Anderson Cooper and on the Today Show. You talk about living your faith and walking your walk. I want to look at him face to face so I can forgive him, whether he was guilty or not. He didn't care how it happened. I guess Oliver is saying that he thought she was an intruder in the bathroom and shot through the door because he didn't know she was home, but we don't know for sure. Can you imagine? It also reminds me of several years ago when that Amish father, the leader of that Amish community, after the horrendous murder of the children, he immediately went to the family to forgive. Immediately. That's what this father in this story is like today. In closing, I'd like to tell you just two things. One is a little story, and the other is a quote by one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, who wrote about a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son, which I can highly recommend. But the story about this radical, radical way of loving goes like this. There was a nun who used to talk with God. She would go into prayer, and she would hear messages from God. And she was so excited, and she was so tired of keeping it to herself that she went to her bishop, and she told him that God was talking to her and telling her, well, the bishop was very old. He really shouldn't have even been a priest at all. And he said, oh, God doesn't really talk to people that way. And he put her down, and he said, you can't prove to me that you're really hearing from God. And I'll tell you what, if you can go back into prayer, you ask God to tell you all the things that I've ever done wrong, then I'll believe you. Then I'll believe you. So he tested her. So she goes back. She's in prayer. She goes to God. God is usually, she's in communication with him. She feels him talking to her and in complete peace. And she asks him about this bishop and all of his sins. And God says to her, when she said to him, please tell me so that he believes in you. Tell me all of his sins. And God said to her, I can't remember them. I can't remember them. Henry Nouwen wrote, this is the portrayal of God, this Father, whose goodness, love, forgiveness, care, joy, and compassion have no limits at all. Jesus presents God's generosity by using all the imagery that his culture provides while constantly transforming it. Amen.